Hey, my name is Lindsay Anderson.
And I'm Ellen Flannery Schroeder.
And you're listening to The Great Estate, a podcast about parenting.
We've got six kids and two PhDs in psychology between us, so we mostly know what we're doing.
Yeah, but not all the time. When our children throw us a curveball, we fall back on some basic parenting principles that are known to promote healthy and happy kids.
So that's what we're going to talk about today. Strategies for navigating difficult moments and keeping a sense of humor about ourselves.
And our kids.
Okay. All right, Lindsay, I'm hoping today we could talk about self-perceived competence.
All right.
I will say that in preparation for recording this podcast, I was thinking a lot about what we mean when we say self-perceived competence.
Mm-hmm. What did you come up with?
Well, you know, one of the things that I've struggled with as I've used this word in the past is how is it different than, say, confidence? Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that it is, but...
Well, they're related.
Related for sure. Maybe even a little overlapping. Mm-hmm. But one of the points that I wanted to be sure that I made about this is that it's not just competence. It's a child believing in their own competence.
Yeah.
So what I'm hoping we could talk about today is not how to make your child more competent, but how to make your child believe that they are competent.
Yeah, I love that idea. And I mean, it resonates for me in so many ways because, you know, kids have lots of natural abilities and they tend to gravitate towards those things that they are naturally good at. And getting them to try new things or step outside of their comfort zone and develop new skill sets and have new experiences and meet new people, those are not things that, in my experience, kids are as quick to attempt.
Yeah. And I think another important point about that, Lindsay, is that a lot of times as parents, maybe I'll just speak for myself, but we might just sort of let the child or our children experience life and they might learn to be competent. But I hope that what we could talk about today is how parents can create or craft experiences that children can have so that they can help them to develop that competence. So I don't think we just want to rely on our children to learn how to be competent. Mm-hmm. I think it is part of our role as parents to engage in specific behaviors to help build that confidence, competence, self-esteem, because they're all kind of related.
And I would add to that that I think in addition to creating opportunities for our children, the other thing that parents need to remember to do is to get out of the way. I find myself a lot with my kids trying to kind of micromanage things a little bit because it is easier or more expedient for me to do things rather than to have them try and develop those skills on their own. You know, it's just...
And you don't want to watch them suffer or struggle. It's so hard as a parent to watch your child struggle.
There's that. And also I find that I'm quick to react sometimes to when my kids are trying to do something because they don't always say to me. So my daughter, for example, last night, she didn't say to me, "Hey, Mom, I just learned about ice cube trays and I'm going to go and fill one up in the sink and try and get it into the freezer all by myself so that I could make myself some ice cubes for camp tomorrow."
Sounds like some spilled water.
What I came into was, right, a kitchen full of water all over the floor and being like, "What are you doing? It's a huge mess." And when I stepped back to say, you know, "What are you actually doing?" She clearly had the ice cube tray in her hand and she was just trying to develop this thing and, you know, the skill. And, you know, I think as parents, we have to slow down our reactions a little bit to see what our kids are doing and exploring and attempting before we intervene or react.
It brings me some joy to hear that your daughter attempted that on her own, even though as you looked at it, you were like, "What is going on here? This is potentially problematic." You know, maybe you were kind of mildly annoyed that there was water on the floor. But if we look at it a different way, that was your daughter recognizing, "I can do stuff. I've never done this before, but I'm going to give it a go." And I really think that's the heart of self-perceived competence. It is a child's belief that they can set goals and strive for them, that they can create change in their world So, you know, the flip side of that, and I would urge all parents to sort of look at this from a different way. So instead of having, you know, maybe your initial reaction is mild annoyance, but then quickly say, wow, but my child believes in themselves and they're trying something new mm-hmm. and they didn't ask me for help mm-hmm. and they're giving it a go.
It is always those day-to-day tasks, you know, where I think that we as parents are going to see our children, you know, exploring in that way, making those efforts and trying to find those opportunities. And, you know, we so frequently say things to our kids like, you know, I want you to get the ice pack into your lunchbox and I want you to set the table and I want you to do this. And when it is directed by us, those are expectations that we have, but we are not as quick to, and I don't want this to sound the wrong way, but we're not as quick to celebrate when they are taking the initiative themselves to try something, when they see an opportunity to kind of grow up a little bit without being directed.
Seize the world.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, influence the world around them.
Exactly. I think the other thing that I've noticed about self-perceived competence is that kids are much more likely to initiate those efforts, are often more likely to initiate those efforts when it is in service of helping others. So, for example, if I say, hey, can you help me empty the trash cans? Or can you help me walk the big trash barrel down to the side of the street? They're much more likely to do that and feel excited about that than if I were to say, can you go clean up your room?
I don't know, Lindsay. My kids have never been excited about anything pertaining to trash.
Well, maybe you didn't start early enough.
I don't think I did. I thought you were going to say, you know, if you ask them to help someone outside the family, which...
Well, that is absolutely true. But I don't think it's only outside the family. I don't
Definitely
think it's
not.
All. I mean, my kids are so quick to want to do things and bring things into their classroom to help their teachers or to help their best friend or to help animals. You know, I feel like we're saving animals left and right. But I do think that in the house, if you can find those things that your kids feel excited about trying, those are great opportunities for building competence and self-esteem. I can do this. I can help. I can contribute in a way that's meaningful to my family.
I totally agree. And I think that a lot of kids probably would have some reactions, negative reactions, perhaps, to not to pick on the trash, Lindsay.
Yeah.
And I'm so impressed that your kids are willing to help with that. But mine have never. They have avoided the trash.
It has surprised me as well, if I'm being
forever,
honest.
For 23 plus years. In any event, I think, though, there are a lot of things. I love the idea of kids being contributing household members in ways that promote, help, support the family. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's not taking out the trash. Maybe it's planning dinner. Mm-hmm. I mean, not necessarily cooking it, although maybe helping cooking it, depending on the age of the child. But, mm-hmm. you know, I think there's a lot of things that they could do that are small like that.
Right. Like, so let's go with the dinner example, like going to the grocery store and checking off items on a grocery list.
Exactly.
Or helping
or making the grocery list.
Yes. And if they're not old enough to write, then drawing pictures of the items that they want to add to the grocery list. And this is another one of those places where I think parents have to be careful not to intervene. You know, if kids are writing things on a grocery list and it's not spelled correctly, for example, the goal isn't that it's spelled perfectly. The goal is that they are trying to do something to contribute, to develop a skill. And I think that that's the important piece, not that it's written perfectly or it's straight across the line or it's anything like that, but that the child is contributing.
I agree. And that other people believe and value,
yeah,
believe in them and value their contributions both to the family but also outside, to school, to the community, and onward.
Yeah. I think also when I think of self-perceived competence, you know, that when our kids get stuck, you know, when they're trying a new task, again, I'm going to refer back to the trash, but, you know, we have these big, huge trash barrels that we have to roll down to the curb. And the other week, it was really heavy. And it was, my child just couldn't lean it at quite the right angle to get it to come down. And it tipped over. And she
Yuck.
Well, it was all in bags, you know, but she was just you know, demoralized that she was trying to do something and it hadn't worked. And rather than sort of swoop in and fix the problem for her, and she was really upset, I asked the question, I said, what part of this can I help you with? So she can stop and think to herself, what part of this new experience am I having a hard time with? Where do I still need a little bit of support? And she was able to say, well, but at the moment, I need your help picking it up off the ground.
You know what I love about that, Lindsay? Because it's not, self-perceived competence isn't just about the child being competent to do things and able to do things, but it also involves being able to ask for help.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that, you know, again, as parents, we are wired, whether it's because we want them, you know, to avoid our children feeling distress, or we want to make sure that things happen in a fast and efficient way, we're more likely to swoop in than we are to pause for a minute and give our child the opportunity to reflect on, what am I able to do? What am I trying to do? And where do I still need some support? You know, I'm giving you a trash example, but it happens all the time. The ice cube tray would have been a great time for my child to ask for some help. But I think that those are opportunities for us as parents to, again, sort of slow down and reflect on what we are asking our children to develop in terms of a skill and what our kids are trying to develop as people.
Exactly.
I have one other example, you know, as I was thinking about talking about this today that I wanted to bring up, and that is really creating space for our kids to develop skills in their own way and at their own pace. That because I do things one way doesn't mean that that's going to be the same way that my kids do it.
I have a colleague, a psychologist mom, who tells her young kids, we learn to do hard things by doing hard things, like taking out heavy trash cans. Mm-hmm. I just think that's such a great motto within a family.
Right. Well, because it encourages kids to approach things that are difficult versus avoiding them, which, again, is the temptation when you don't know how to do something. You've tried something before and it hasn't worked. You know, the temptation to shy away from that experience, but also other new experiences that might create those same feelings.
And when your parent is encouraging you to do something hard, they are subtly transmitting the message, I totally believe you could do this.
Yeah.
And if you can't totally accomplish it, I'm okay with that because I'm really kind of requiring you to do it, or I'm asking you to do it if you actually need the help.
Exactly.
Can we talk about praise for a minute? A fantastic way of encouraging self-perceived competence is by the use of praise, praising your child.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so specific praise, right? I mean, if that's where you're headed with this.
I was. Yes. Specific praise. So, you know, you want to let your child know exactly what they're doing that you're happy about. Labeled and specific praise. But another point I wanted to make is that you know, your child brings home a good grade. You don't want to praise them for being smart. You want to praise the effort. Wow, you must have really worked hard. You know, you did well. So really praising the effort that they put in and not necessarily the outcome. I think that's a super important point for people to remember.
Yeah, and it's hard because I think as parents, we lean really heavily onto like, good job.
Right.
And you did it.
Right.
And that's really insufficient when it comes to developing self-perceived competence as parents, you know, to say things like, you know, I really loved that you ran after the ball on the soccer field, you know, that you really pushed yourself and tried really hard to catch up, you know, or that you dribbled the ball as far as you could down the field before passing it to a friend. I think that those very specific statements help kids to see that these bigger experiences, like, for example, winning a soccer game, can be broken down into much smaller moments of competence.
Right.
Even, you know, zipping up your jacket. It's not just about having a zipped jacket. It's about, I love that you got your jacket on by yourself. I love that you got one side of the zipper into the other side of the zipper. I love that you were able to pull the zipper up as far as you could before asking me to zip it up, you know, all the way to your chin.
Can we go back to the soccer game for a minute?
Sure.
Because I think praising those specific behaviors, like you really, you know, fought hard and you ran as fast as you could, and I could really see that effort that you were putting in, helps, I think, to remove the emphasis from did you win or lose the game?
Yeah.
and gives that child specific information about what they did well and what then they can do more of, because mm-hmm. we know if we praise a child, they're going to do more of that. Mm-hmm. But I just love that it takes a little bit away, because who cares? Win or lose the game doesn't matter. It's how you played it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important to remember.
So, I think that the takeaway here is that self-perceived competence is not just about our children's abilities to do things, but their belief in themselves.
And our belief in our child or children.
To try new things, to initiate new skills, new opportunities, and to actually create opportunities for our children to stretch themselves. So what did we cover? We talked about four main principles related to self-perceived competence. Number one, self-perceived competence is related to and often overlaps with confidence and self-esteem. It's not just a child's ability to do things, but their belief that they can do hard things.
Number two, parents play a really key role in crafting opportunities for kids to build self-perceived competence. We can ask our kids to participate in tasks that they don't normally help with, writing shopping lists, using a small vacuum to pick up dirt, filling a pet's water dish. Remember, how your child chooses to explore these new tasks is part of the learning process. Get out of the way and let them find their own path, even if it is more complicated, takes longer, or is less efficient. Number three, learning is messy, figuratively and literally. Self-perceived competence is your child's belief that they can set goals, strive for them, and create change. Communicate confidence in your child's abilities, even when the outcomes aren't perfect. Give them specific praise about the parts of a task they did well. Remember, it's the effort that matters, not the outcome.
And number four, self-perceived competence is not just about a child's belief in their ability to do things, but also knowing when to ask for help. Asking for help is part of the learning. If your child has attempted something and is asking for help, ask, "What part of this can I help you with?" Breaking down experiences into pieces to help your child realize that even when a task is difficult, they may only actually need help with one small part in order to reach their goal.
I'm Lindsay Anderson.
And I'm Ellen Flannery Schroeder.
And you just listened to A Greatest Eight podcast, written and produced by Drs. Lindsay Anderson and Ellen Flannery Schroeder. Associate producer and engineer was Ian Reyes.
For more information related to parenting for mental health or to listen to podcasts on other topics, please visit thegreatest8.org.
That's thegreatest8.org. These podcasts were developed by the University of Rhode Island and South County Health with support from URI, the Rhode Island Foundation, and the Van Buren Charitable Foundation.